Morning.
Morning.
How are you guys today? Good? Good. Same here. All right, I'd like to just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day that we can come together, fellowship. Beautiful day. 4th of July weekend. Can enjoy our freedoms and liberties that come from you. And we want to be thankful and grateful for this service for today, and let you be glorified. And you have put your word above all thy name, and we want to let your word be magnified in what you have to say for just for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so this one's study that I want to do today is on dispensationalism. So, and before that, I want to just say thank you for coming, and want to appreciate everybody in the church, everybody with, you know, what they do for the church, and other teachers, other people who step up. Want to thank Pastor Kurt and Paul, Ray, everyone that just steps up, and we're just grateful for this church, grateful for everything that going on here today, and. Yeah. All right. So, So dispensationalism. That's what I want to cover today, and probably briefly over the ages. Where, if you guys ever heard of that, I'm kind of learning about it. And a lot of this is from. I read a few sources, but a lot of it is from the Berean Bible Society, and that I got reading some of their books. And I kind of in agreement with it, and because many people, as we know, they don't study dispensationally, and that's where a lot of the, you know, the falsehoods and the confusion comes around. And I'm grateful that we do that here. We do a verse by verse, we do expository, we study the Bible in its context, and not take a verse out of its context. We try not to. And I just wish that people, pray that people can see this, because this is, to me, is important, and I've kind of went through a lot of it studying it. And, you know, studying dispensationally makes all the difference in the world, because it's the key to knowing your Bible, because, you know, knowing the divisions, prophecy, and mystery, and it's a key to knowing, and it's the most logical way to obtain God's, what he's doing for all ages, all dispensations, and what he's doing. So that word, we're going to break that word down today, and we're going to go through all the dispensations. We're going to try to, and I'm going to kind of want to go, because some of them are really close to each other. There are a lot, four of them are in Genesis, and four or five of them, and they're close. So I want to kind of break that down so we can really know what it is. And for people listening, you know, this Bible is for you, for everyone. This ain't just for a pastor or a teacher. This is for the regular guy out there. It's for everyone to hold. And I wanted to go, just to start off real quick, in Colossians chapter 2, just before I start off, chapter 2 verse 8. I wanted to get this out, because Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, and we all know, a lot of us know this verse, but beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and after Christ, and not after Christ. So I wanted to just say that real quick, because it's in Paul's epistles, and that's what's happening. Traditions of men. They've fallen away from what Paul did to all the churches, and it's been a falling away of knowing, you know, they've just been following traditions instead of just getting in there and seeing what God's been saying. So, and going after the rudiments of this world. But dispensation, all right, so dispensation, in the Greek, it's called oikonomia, which is, when you break that down, it's oikos, which is house, and nomos, which is law. So, house law. And so God, when He dispensed dispensations, they're God's dealing with men. They're not really a period. It's not like a period of time. It covers time, but it's not a period of time. It's God's dealing with men. And it's a dispensation is to deal out, distribute, administrate. It's, that's kind of to dispense. God's dispensing thing, you know. And a mode of dealings. And God dispensed them to holy men throughout the Bible and led by the Spirit. And at different stages of God's word in history, God dispensed to mankind a new distinct rule of life to different people and times. And a lot of people think, well, you know, God changes dealings with men, but God, as we know, never changes. He is immutable. And Malachi 3:6 says that I change not. So God in His word says that He's put His word above all His name. So this is some serious stuff with God's word. And the God of Genesis is the same God today. So God that was dealing with, you know, all the past dispensations, past times, He's the same God today. He's never changed. And for anybody that thinks that, but a lot of people like to hold on to what's called covenant theology. And that's just the old way of thinking, you know. I think it's started with Calvinism or however in 1500th century. But those are the, it's called covenant theology. And we, and that's one thing that they like to hold on. But as you already know, 2 Timothy 2:15, we like to rightly divide, because that's another thing that's being mistaken. People aren't rightly dividing their mail. They're not saying, okay, what's, how's this, what is this, is this book written to me, is this, who's this book written to, who's writing, who's doing all these things. And a quick definition is to cut straight, rightly divide. You want to cut straight. And in the Greek, it's orthotomia. So, and that's another thing too, if you want to, I need to get more into it, but to learning the Greek and Hebrew and the translations, that'll help you in your study as well. Because God does want us to study, you know, on our own, and to, and as you guys already know, but that, you know, that's something He just requires of us, especially in this dispensation. So now we know that a dispensation is a dispensing. So, and and we must correctly divide the scriptures for a proper Bible study to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Because if we don't rightly divide, that causes for a lot of shame and not, and a lot of mixtures and a lot of mixing up and things. So, and that's something that don't want, you know. So, dispensation, some dispensationalists see it different. Some see 3, some see 4, some see 7. Some see 8 and some see 12. I'm pretty sure most people see 7. So me, I'm kind of in agreement of with the Berean Bible Society and Sadler, and they say that there's 8. So we're just gonna go through them 8, and however, you know, you guys feel whatever it is, then, you know, but I'm just going to cover the 8. So, and those dispensations are, the 8 are innocence, conscience, human government, promise, law, grace, the kingdom, and the fullness of times. So, we're going to kind of briefly go over those, but those are the 8 that I'm talking about. Some people see 4. And they kind of squeeze innocence, conscience, human government, and law into one and call it the dispensation of the patriarchs. Where a lot of them, the patriarchs got, you know, and it spans from Adam, 2,500 years, Adam to Moses, and the law given in Mount Sinai. So, but this is also a note that some dispensations don't stop. Some of them go through. And as you guys might already know, that conscience, human government, and promise are two that are still in effect till today. And promise will be in the future. But conscience and human government is still going on. Man governs himself, and you know, and God is there behind all the leaders, even the bad ones. So you know, that's, and God's there, you know. He's around. So, and we have a complete word of God. So God's word is complete. We don't have to. Back then, they didn't have a complete word of God, and God is not giving a new revelation to man no more. The plan and purpose for all the ages is revealed in the Bible. We have an advantage over the other, over other dispensations, because we have a complete Bible. We could see everything. We could see into the future. We could see into the past. They couldn't see. You know, even the 12 apostles didn't know what was going to happen to the Lord. You know, didn't fully understand after he told them. You know, so now we know what happened to the Lord. We know what happened in the future. We know what happens in the past. So we've got a great advantage in so many different ways here in the dispensation of grace, which we'll be getting into. And that is a blessing. So, and let's see. Let's go. So, and within those dispensations, I just wanted to kind of go through. There's ages in between, you know, and the ages cover a period of time and have a definite beginning and ending. So the ages, I'm not going to get into much. I just kind of wanted to throw them out there for your own study if you guys are interested. And those ages cover a period of time with both a beginning and ending, period of time viewed in relation to what takes place in the period. So they have the age of liberty, the age of nations, the age of Jewish nation, the age, the present evil age, which is grace, and the kingdom age and the ages to come. So, and within the framework of the ages, God has manifested his will in what is commonly known as dispensations. So, and law has been covered. The dispensation of law has been around, went for 1,500 years. Grace has been for 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years grace has been in effect. And then the other ones was a span of 2,500 years from innocence to promise. And so, with that being covered, in the dispensation, they all have similarities in their structure. So, within these similarities of the structures, God makes it, so there's four parts to it. God makes known his will to man. So God tells man what he's going to do. Man has a responsibility to obey. Man fails, then God judges. And this is how it goes in each dispensation. And we'll get to how today is, because today we're blessed to be under the dispensation of grace for sure. Because, I mean, there was a dispensation which we'll cover that it was conditional. If they were bad, God, they were gonna feel it. And so, and God is just pouring his grace on us today. So, and the first one we'll get into is innocence. So, come with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26-28. So, I can kind of just blast through this, but I kind of just want to show you each four parts so you can kind of get it, you know. And this one's kind of easy to see, you know. It's the first one, innocence. And, alright, so Genesis 1, chapter 26. I mean, chapter 1, verse 26. Alright. And we'll be reading through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male, female created of them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God made us in his image. So God makes things that are perfect, right? So we knew no sin back then. That's why it's called innocence. And we were innocent and knew only good, created to rule and to be fruitful and to multiply. Our responsibility, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. So now that God made us the way he was and to what our what we're supposed to be doing, he gives us a responsibility. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So our responsibility is to... And he did want, in verse 15, he wanted them to care for the garden, but he told us not to eat of the fruit. And why did he say not to eat of the fruit? Because God has to make some kind of stipulation to show that he has authority over us. And that he, so that was our responsibility. Just eat anything you want, take care of the garden, just don't eat that fruit. So, man, Adam and Eve, they failed. They ate of the fruit, and sin and death entered. So there goes the failure, and that's in Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and desire to make one arise, the pride of life, and the tree was good for food, is the lust of the flesh. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat. So, there was our failure. And, I'm sure you guys know what's coming up, the judgment. God kicked them out of the garden, and gave them a curse. Cursed us. And now we have sin nature, and we live in sin, and we got all these things going on. So, I kind of just wanted to... That's basically the breakdown of the four similarities in innocence. So you guys can visually see it. If anybody's out there seeing this, you could see that that's... And then if you... When you go through the rest, you'll see that it just continues from there on. So... Conscience now. First one was innocence, age of liberty. Conscience now is the age of nations. So, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, we see, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So as we see, they knew that what they did was wrong. They didn't come to God the way they wanted. So they sold fig leaves, and it's like the first sign of religion, going to God man's way instead of going to God God's way. And that's was the beginning. Then so they're aware of good and evil. They had a civilization there in chapter 4. And then their responsibility was to be good and stay away from evil. And they had blood sacrifices, which you'll see in chapter 4, verse 7. We're kind of just going to go through a little bit because there's a few pages. You know, it's a page here. So that's the responsibility. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And you'll see that... If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So, yeah, and I think he was talking to Cain there. So, and that's, you know, we have responsibilities and blood sacrifice. That's what they were supposed to, that's, blood sacrifice was off right away, because sin is so horrid and so bad that it had to be, God required the blood of lambs and the blood of goats, you know, and that's how it's been since. So their failure, as you guys probably know in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw, there's 5 and then there's 13, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come near me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So the earth became violent, didn't stay away from doing evil, and then the judgment came and the universal flood. So does that kind of make sense with the dispensations? I'm pretty sure, yeah. So on how dispensations are, because, and so, and then we have human government. So now we had innocence, conscience, and we're in human government now. So in human government, we can go, let's go to chapter 9. And verse 5. Chapter 9. Ooh. Verse 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for the image of God made he man. So man, and God was dispensing a new dispensation, and man is supposed to govern man, and he used capital punishment. So if you killed someone, I mean, a lot of people today, they don't want to go by capital punishment, but that's capital punishment. God says, and you kill someone, you die. And that's how the start of human government was. So that's when Noah, after the flood, you know, men began to govern, and the fear of man was placed on beasts, permitted to eat meat, and the responsibility was to enforce these judgments, punishments, and laws, and to multiply upon the earth. So man failed, and he failed at the Tower of Babel. And you can see that in chapter 11. So you can see that the first three, they're really close to each other. And the fourth one. So, chapter 11, verse 4. Yeah. And they said, go to, let us build as a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So God wanted them to multiply and be on the earth, but they wanted to come together and be together. And it's just another form of globalism, you know, that's what's happening today, trying to make everything one, instead of individualism and nations, just to get out and be the... They're not listening to God's word. They wanted to be one, and they were viewing the astrological signs, and they, you know, and this is where all your paganism stems from, that Tower of Babel, and that's what these guys did, and they wanted to make a name for themselves. They were in pride, and they were in defiance of God's word. So God did a judgment, and in that judgment is in the same chapter, verse 7 and 9. Go to, let us go down, let us go down. So God is, you know, there's a lot of verses that prove that God is three. God is, Amen. You know, that God is not just one, he's three. He's three, yep. So this is another one. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left all to build the city. Therefore, in the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So, there goes our judgment there. So that was human government. And we're kind of, this is kind of going to be the thing going on here. So for everyone, I just, it's hard to get all the dispensations in, and I just wanted to, we're kind of going to try and do it. So hopefully you guys leave here with a, you know, I'm sure most of the people know, but for people who are listening, maybe you get a little more. So there's the next one. So you had innocence, conscience, human government, and now we have promise. So promise is, they call it the age of Jewish nation. And promise is what Abraham, God promised Abraham that his seed would, that, you know, call out one people, one nation out of all nations. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. And some of your, some of the Bibles, like the one that I have, it even says the fourth dispensation. It'll say that. But so all nations blessed through his seed, and he had, was given the promised land. So Genesis 12, verse 1. We'll do, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. So he's supposed to leave his, the country and his family, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So there goes the fourth, and that's what God was doing new now, separating a nation from the heathen, from everyone else. And that's through Abram, soon to be Abraham. So the guy Abraham had responsibilities. And we could see those responsibilities. Let's shoot to chapter 26 of Genesis. So now we're jumping a little bit. So, and these Abraham's descendants were responsible to trust God to fulfill the promises. They were supposed to fulfill it and go into the land, and they didn't. And do I even have the right one? I don't think they see. Let's see. And there was a famine in the land. It appeared unto him, go down now, which I should tell thee. Sojourn, verse 3. So there was a famine in the land, days, that was in the days of, let's do verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went up to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in the Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all the countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all the countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So Abraham's seed was supposed to go. He said, don't go into Egypt, go into this promised land I was telling you. And they were, and also circumcision was mandatory as a seal of the covenant made to Abraham. So that's another responsibility. They were to be circumcised. And that makes sense. So now we have a failure. And they forsook the promised land and moved to Egypt out of disbelief. And that is in Genesis 41. Let's just go there. Genesis 41, verse 54. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph has said. And the dearth was in the lands, but in all the land of the Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And famines waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because of that famine was sore in all the land. So they all, during the famine, they, you know, they all went to, they still went to Egypt. And then, as we all know, Joseph, I think Joseph died in Egypt. And you know the story. They ended, Israel ended up staying in Egypt 400 years and became, and that's where they were in bondage. And that's God's judgment. And they were wandering for 40 years afterward. But, you know, they didn't go to the promised land like God said. So, this is another judgment. So, then we get into law. So now we're all the way into Genesis. We got up to, you know, we're going to get it now through Genesis. That's where the four dispensations. And in law, I'm kind of just going to talk to you guys about it now. So the law was given to Moses. He had a moral, civil, and ceremonial law, all added up to 613 laws. And them 613 laws, in Exodus 20, Exodus 21, and then in Leviticus, they had all these laws, and that's where God was, you know, the purpose of the law was to give Israel a knowledge of sin. That's what the law is the knowledge of sin, and it makes you sin more, actually, but that's in Romans 3:20. And their responsibility was to keep the 613 laws. Blessings were conditional, only realized if they obeyed and kept the law. So if they, as you guys know, if they didn't obey the law, they were chastened. If they did obey the law, they got everything that they ever wanted and needed. And you see that in Exodus 19. Then they failed because they just kept breaking the law. Many failures. I mean, there's so many, numerous to just. But the big one, some of the big ones was they were praying to other gods. I mean, what other, you know, like, God made, set you aside. And, you know, I think it was in Mount Sinai somewhere, they all would go, yeah, we will obey this law. But that was kind of like, that was kind of arrogance in their sight, because you can't obey all God's laws. And they just, so yeah, God, they, so they were in, so as we all know, you know, they, and they were doing it all through the kings, you know, through 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, will tell you all the stories. Even in Judges, the book of Judges, you'll see that God, they just continually were breaking the law. That's all, they just were continue. Some of the kings were doing, you know, they would make things right, but for the most part. So God's judgment was Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, and then finally, after Christ came, died, rose, then the stoning of Stephen, that was it. You know, the law, a lot of people today want to hold the law, and the law is not, that's, there's been too many failures going on there. And as we all know, they beheaded John the Baptist, they killed Christ, and they stoned Stephen, which is a hit on all, which is a hit on the Father, John the Baptist, hit on the Son, Jesus Christ, and a hit on the Holy Spirit, which is Stephen. And after that, God said, nope, we're bringing somebody else around, because you guys are, it's over with. We even brought the Messiah, and you guys killed him. So, and we even offered it again after you killed the Messiah. So now we're going to go into our marching orders for today. So hopefully this kind of made a little sense. And it's just for us to kind of see, you know, what, we didn't go through the law, but to kind of see in our Bibles that, you know, God has dealings with men. And these are, and if you follow these, you will see that things will just fall right into place. You'll see the Bible for what it is. It'll be a blessing for you. It'll help you in your studies. It'll help you to teach and show others. It's even for me, it's like a categorized. Like I can be like, okay, boom, that's the dispensation of grace. That's the dispensation of, you know, and it'll help you instead of just being confused that people just, which is the, you know, a big problem in what's going on in God's people today. So, but we are under grace, and grace reigns today. Grace reigns heavy today, and we are blessed to have grace because, I mean, it's the word in itself. You know, the Apostle Paul spoke of grace over 100 times in his epistles, way more than everyone else. And as we all know, what is grace? Unmerited favor. Okay, we just have favor that we don't even deserve, and we still get it. That's good. Hey, I love that, you know. Thank the Lord for that. And, Apostle Paul uses it over 100 times. Whenever he writes in his epistles, he's always saying peace and grace. We're under a peaceful times and graceful times. You know, so let's go to Romans 5:20 because this is 5:20. So now we're in Paul's epistles. And for anybody that never heard, to help you kind of categorize the Bible, Romans 5:20, you can... I mean, the books, Genesis through Genesis through Acts, and like, yeah, Genesis through Acts. Yeah, Acts is a transition book, but that's written past time. Romans through Philemon is written to us. So when you go through Romans, and you go through the Corinthians, through, you know, all the letters, all the way up to Philemon, which is... It's kind of short, but those are written to us. Then you get to Hebrews and Revelation. Then that's in the future where it goes back to prophecy. So, which is back to law, back to the ordinances. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. All right. Moreover, Apostle Paul, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign to righteousness unto eternal life by the Lord Jesus Christ. So where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So grace trumps everything. Like under the law, they had kept on trying to... throw their sins under a rug. You know, it's the animal sacrifice, kept atoning. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate sacrifice. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In Romans chapter 8, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Like, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And anybody listening, that should be music to your ears. Because a lot of people are in fear of just losing their salvation. And once you see what... through Paul's epistles, it's clear as day that we're sealed, and we ain't going. We got a heavenly purpose that is beautiful. So, so the beginning of grace was given to the Apostle Paul. Let's go to Colossians 1:25. We were in Colossians earlier, but let's go to Colossians 1:25. Another one of Paul's epistles. Alright, so, moreover, I am made a minister, the Apostle Paul, according to the dispensation of God. There we go, our word, dispensation. And which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. We're fulfilled, we're complete. And you can see that in, you can see that in, where is it? In chapter 2, verse 10, that we're complete. But even the mystery, verse 26, the mystery, which is our program, which hath been hidden, never spoken to any of the prophets from ages and from the generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. And now we know about it. And thank the Lord, it's through the Apostle Paul. We're a new creation. This is our beginning. Christ is the head of the body. Believers have a spiritual baptism. We're baptized spiritually. No longer under the law, but under grace. We have a hope in the rapture. So we have that's our beginning. You know, now we're back to seeing it dispensationally. So our beginning is we're a new creature. We follow the Apostle Paul. And that's our responsibilities. Follow the Apostle Paul about grace. Preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. We're just reading them. We have a duty today to teach this. This is not just... that's our responsibility. And you know what? I think we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So we can see. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Necessity. Yea, woe is unto me. I preach not the gospel. You see, it's got an exclamation mark there. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if I against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Do things out of grace. We do things out of love, out of genuine. You know, woe unto me that I don't preach this. And it is our duty, it's grace believers, to at least talk about it, get it out there. And, I mean, when you really think about it, so many people are so astray. And it's always been that way, so don't kind of feel bad. God has always dealt with the few. Always the many has always gone astray. You know, narrow is the path. Wide is the path of destruction. It's always been. God has always dealt with the few. So we're supposed to walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. You see that in Galatians 5. All right, so now if the failures of today is rejecting the gospel of grace, church refuses to acknowledge Paul's apostleship, because it's a unique apostleship, and rejecting it today, that's what most of the world is doing. I mean, I can walk into a church now, or anyone, and I'll do it out of love. I'll say, hey, what about this? And they reject it. You know, most people look at you like you're crazy. They'll see you like, you know, you just come in here to start trouble. But the Apostle Paul was bold in his speech, and who cares if you look like the bad guy? Because you're not. If you know inside you're not, then you know it's the Lord's watching. That's all that really matters. So we will have a judgment, and that would be when we'll be raptured, and then God will. I mean, the judgment of the grace, dispensation of grace, is we'll be raptured, and us as believers will have a thorough review on our faithfulness. So even though you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Lord is going to thoroughly review what you've been doing. You know, it's not like, oh, yeah, it is, you know, we're saved, but God is going to be like, what have you been doing? And you know, God always, you know, even the angels, you see in the book of Job, all the angels had to give an account of what they've been doing. You know, even back then, God sit there, and even Satan had to stand before him and say what he was doing. God has that authority. They had to come and say, all right, what you've been up to? And Satan, I've been doing, walking, you know, on the earth to and fro, you know, and he had to give an account, you know. So we will give an account as well. And, all right, almost done. So we got the kingdom. So now we're in our seventh dispensation. It's been a long one, but thank you for listening. Hopefully,
I'm sorry, kingdom?
Yeah, we're in the kingdom now, the kingdom dispensation. So we went through the grace, now we're in the kingdom. And And God, after when the kingdom comes, the tribulation happens right away for 7 years. That's the prelude of what the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign. But that 7 years, God is pouring His wrath, pouring His judgment. There's no more playing around. There's no more grace. Grace is done once the tribulation happens, and we are not going to see that. The poor souls of this world are going to see it. And it's 7 years, so it's not like it can happen today. And our loved ones will, if they're not saved, live through that. And that's not what I would want them to do. So that's the beginning. And then Christ reigns for 1,000 years. The throne of David is established. Justice fills the earth. Peace will prevail. And the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants are fulfilled. So that's during the kingdom dispensation. That's the beginning. They have a responsibility, and they are to lead the nations of worship of the Messiah. The laws are back and observed, the ordinances, that's through that kingdom, that's their responsibility. Then they have a failure, and men will rise and rebel against God again, even during that righteous reign. And that's when Satan comes out of his 1,000-year prison sentence, and he's going to gather the nations, a number that's like the sand of the sea. So there's going to be that many people going against God again, even during the 1,000-year reign. So that's where that comes in. And then the judgment there is God's going to destroy them. And He's going to throw Satan into the lake of fire, and everyone that needs to go into the lake of fire. And He's going to destroy the heavens and destroy the earth through a fervent fire. It's going to be that's going to be the real Big Bang. He's going to destroy the heaven, destroy the earth. Big Bang didn't happen. God spoke the world into existence. I mean, it's not that hard to it's more hard to believe the theory of evolution, and they're all theories. So anybody talking about evolution, you're talking about theories. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, I can't even have a conversation with that because it's a theory, you know? So, but the real Big Bang is going to happen when He destroys the heavens, destroys the earth. And then, then we're going to go into our eighth and final one, where it's called the fullness of times, where God brings the heavens and the earth, and He brings them together. And the heavenly program, us, the body of Christ, the ones who followed for today's dispensation, we're going to rule in the heavenlies with Christ. And in the earth, the ones in the past, and the ones that are going to live through the kingdom and live through the tribulation, they're going to rule on earth in the new heaven and the new earth. And that's going to be the fullness of times. That's going to be where God sums everything up. And you see that in Ephesians. You know what? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I think it'll be our last verse. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. See, we are in Christ. I mean, He's going to gather everything. There's always been. When God created the heavens and the earth, when God, in Genesis, God created the heavens and earth. There always was a quick division. There always was division. He always separated heaven, earth, heaven, earth, heaven, earth, all the way to the end. And you can go to Revelations chapter 21. We don't have to go there, but in Revelations chapter 21, verse 4, it's, you know, and then all of it, even at the end of Revelations, you'll see He made a new heaven and a new earth. Why is He making a new heaven and a new earth? Because there's two different programs. That's why. So think about it. Anybody listening, just think about it. Revelations, he's making a new heaven and earth. That means there's programs throughout time, through these dispensations. That's what it is. Through these dispensations, this is how you see it. Okay? And all saints in this time, all saints live in harmony. No more failure, no more sin, no more death, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more judgment. The body of Christ reigns heavenly under the mystery program, and Israel and the priesthood will reign on earth and after the prophecy program. And then when he brings those together, that's that fullness of times. So anybody not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and want to be part of these beautiful truths, you know, read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. And you'll see that Christ died on the cross for your sins. So we can... He died on the cross for your sins, and salvation is free. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. It's a free gift. All you have to do is believe. That's all that he requires. And grace... Essentially, through all these dispensations, grace, we're saved by grace, by grace through faith, through all these dispensations. But God deals with man differently. And that's what the church today and what the people today are missing out on, these beautiful truths. So hopefully that helps, and that helps you guys kind of see the differences. And thank you for listening, and I'll just end us in prayer real quick. And Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to speak. Hopefully the Holy Spirit was our teacher, and that it was nothing of me, and that it was all of your glory, Lord. And let us, hopefully our minds were open and receptive enough to go out into a sinful world and preach you, Lord, and add to the body of Christ. We're grateful for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.